Hollywood is rated LGBT radio, starring your host, Rob Watson!
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You have reached Rated LGBT Radio, and thank you for listening to our podcast. Please tell your friends, and please subscribe. We love having you as part of our extended worldwide family. Today we have another great musical show. We're on kind of a musical run, and if you listen to the podcast regularly, you know we talk to filmmakers, we talk to authors, we talk to activists, and we talk to musicians. And we have had the great opportunity recently to talk to a series of great musicians. Today's show is no exception to that. If you were listening last week, of course, we had Anne Stott, and Anne launched an Earth Day anthem, which we played for you and premiered for you. We also recently premiered new music from David Archuleta and talked to David. Also, by the way, there is an article about David and his mom that I wrote for the LA Blade, appearing in the LA Blade at losangelesblade.com. That came out last night, so please do read that. We had Tom Goss a few weeks ago and a new song by him. And today we have Dancing Lights by the pop sensation Wills. And Wills' music, I love all my children. I love all my musical children. I love all the music we played. I've adored each and every one of them. But Will's music is like kind of like my whole favorite kind of music, which is that electronic pop that I could listen to all day long. And he has a beautiful voice that is mixed in with that. So this is a real treat for me. And we are premiering his song, like I said, Dancing Lights. It is a song that is, I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit moody and beautiful and kind of bittersweet, hopeful, but coming from a place of resurgence. Stay tuned for that. I think it's going to be really great. So about Wills, I'm going to use a quote from him. "My journey in music is complete," he's telling us. "It has been a heartening 10-year ride that has taught me to live fearlessly as my authentic true self, and I'm ready to now follow the dancing lights wherever they lead me." So we do want to find out what that's about, what is next for him. And kind of what he's been through. His story is he's an artist who has been held back because of his bravery of coming out as gay, and that's not fair, it's not good, and we're definitely going to get into his story. The song itself that we're playing is an uplifting dance track, but like I said, it does explore moodier, more subdued hues than his past releases. He has got some real uplifting dance tracks, and you should check out his whole catalog. There's a gorgeous video that is coming out, or is out, that supports the song, which he will talk about. He is incredibly proud of, so we're anxious to hear more about that. Background on Wills, he first gained fame with his 2014 album, WTF. And I went out to look for that album, and it is under his previously released name, Wilte. So if you are searching for that on iTunes, FYI. That album garnered numerous awards, and he was Artist of the Year, and his single Less Is More won the Music Video of the Year for its integration of technology, music, fashion, and art. He has also appeared on the Singapore version of Men's Fitness, and he has been known as the Beast from the East. So we're looking forward to talking to Wills, and we will have him up in just a minute. First, though, let's go to our beast of the newsroom, which is Brody Levesque. Brody is the editor-in-chief of the Los Angeles Blade magazine. Again, this is period journalism that you should be taking advantage of every single day, as there are new and unique stories that will appear on it, as well as the sister publication, The Washington Blade. The Blades, by the way, won last year's Excellence in Journalism Award from the GLAAD Awards. So I'm not the only one that thinks that they are worth a read and worth your time. But anyway, here is Brody. Brody, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rob, thank you very much. Today on the Los Angeles Blade, we're covering the following stories that are important to those of you that can hear me and those that cannot hear me. Those that cannot hear me, please have them subscribe to our podcast. As hate crimes are surging in the state of Oregon, the state's Department of Justice has launched a new program to raise awareness of a hotline. Specifically, the campaign is dubbed You Belong. It's going to be run for the next 3 months. It includes public service announcements and ads in English, Spanish, Korean, Mandarin, Arabic, Russian, Vietnamese, and Tagalog, which is the national language of the Philippines. They're going to be on radio and television, streamed on YouTube, and going out on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. This would include bias crimes, obviously, against the LGBTQ community, along with some of the other hate crimes, especially these days with a rise in anti-Semitism and racial hatred. So Oregon is raising awareness starting today with this new campaign they just put out, and we wish them best. Now, we have two ballot initiatives that we should talk about. In California, a ballot measure that would have literally attacked the rights of transgender youth in the state has been blocked by a Superior Court judge in Sacramento in agreement with the state's attorney general. Which we've been watching this one pretty closely. The group called Protect Kids California has they're required to have 550,000 ballot signatures in order to put it onto the ballot. They have to have that in place by May 28. However, that a summation of what the thing was in terms of how the language would appear in terms of signature gathering. The attorney general called it out for being transphobic. The group Protect Kid California took that into court and said, no, it's not. The judge yesterday sided with the attorney general and said, oh, yes, it is. It's prejudicial against trans kids and it attacks the rights of trans kids. Ironically enough, in the state of Colorado right now, the state Supreme Court there in Colorado just signed off on an initiative which is going to allow another local group to collect signatures for a ballot initiative in that state that would target LGBTQ students. This measure would, in particular, out trans students to their parents. In many cases, trans kids are, of course, from non-affirming households, and they don't disclose their identity, gender identity, to their own parents for that very reason. The right-wing Colorado Parent Advocacy Network is the one that is pushing this. Again, this is another parent rights argument that the right has been using with varying degrees of success to try and step down on LGBTQ rights. And so in Colorado, that state Supreme Court today, as a matter of fact, ruled that the group can go ahead and gather signatures for that ballot initiative. Yesterday, President Joe Biden signed legislation that would provide funding for Ukraine, Israel in its current fight with Hamas, and of course, Taiwan. But as part of that package, contained in was a separate provision bundled with it that essentially will ban TikTok. This particular bill is a bipartisan provision that will ban the social media TikTok from the United States if its Chinese parent company, ByteDance, does not sell off its American company. Of course, TikTok CEO Shouzi Chen has categorized this as a ban, and that it was a First Amendment issue, and he's vowed to take this to the court. The argument for eliminating TikTok has been on hinged off of what the has been phrased and categorized as data rights and data privacy rights of Americans. There, even though the chair or the CEO of TikTok has repeatedly maintained in testimony, both on Capitol Hill and in other spaces, that the Chinese government has no access to the data and that it's firewalled off. Lawmakers in Washington, members of the American intelligence community, and others aren't buying that argument. There, as far as they're concerned, you know, ByteDance does have the ability to mine the personal data of its 170 million plus American subscribers. And, of course, that data could be shared with the Chinese government or other bad actors. In a statement to me yesterday, the former chair of the House Intelligence Committee, California Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff, said to me, as the former chair of the House Intel Committee, I have long worked to safeguard America's freedoms and security both at home and abroad. The Chinese Communist Party's ability to exploit private user data and to manipulate public opinion through TikTok presents some serious national security concerns. For that reason, I believe that forcing divestiture of this from ByteDance presents, meaning TikTok, presents the best option to preserve access to the platform. I do not support a ban on TikTok. While there are other less restrictive means available, this legislation will give the Biden administration the authority to require that ByteDance divest itself of its American company. Congressman Schiff and his statements to me have been echoed by others. At this point, the clock is now running. ByteDance has got until January 19th. That's the deadline, hard deadline for the sale. So we're going to have to wait and see how this one plays out. There's a lot of arguments going back and forth on this. And of course, obviously the impact would be considerable. I should note that previous attempts to ban TikTok, have not met, court approval. Former President Donald Trump's executive order in 2020, which thought to ban TikTok and also the Chinese-owned WeChat, was blocked by the federal courts. This last year in Helena, Montana, a U.S. district court blocked the state of Montana from their law that they passed to ban TikTok. So this is going to be a long-term fight that we're going to see. It does have a direct impact on our community, obviously. And so we will be keeping an eye on this to see where it goes. And the last thing, yesterday the Alabama House approved an expansion of that state's Don't Say Gay law. It goes to the Alabama Senate next. They're expected to pass it. From there, it'll go to Governor Ivey, and she has already indicated she will sign the measure. That's it, Rob.
Oh, great. Just don't let Elon Musk buy TikTok. That's all I ask. Okay. All righty. Okay. Let's move on to a much more uplifting topic. And our guest, Wills, who I would love to welcome to the program. Wills, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful for your interview.
Oh, very, very, very excited to talk to you. I kind of want to dial you back to your early days. I believe you grew up in Singapore and presumably were a young, closeted young man in Singapore. What was that like? And what attracted you to music?
Yeah, it was pretty scary because, like, back then we had this law that's the 377A law, and any forms of, like, homosexual sex between men, you can be criminalized. So I found myself hiding about my sexuality a lot. I just couldn't be myself with my friends and my family, and it was a constant life of like constant hiding, and it was really tiring because it was like living like two lives, and I just felt like, you know, if I were to continue doing that, that's not going to be good for me. I decided to come out, and there was a lot of kind of like backlash about coming out when people, public figure, it's not good for the kids, you know, shame on you, shame on your family for having a gay child. And so, yeah, it was a lot of shaming going on. I was just like, oh, God, that's so mean. Yeah.
Oh, it's terribly mean. It's horrible. Did when you started your music career there, was your family and friends aware of that you were gay, and were they kind of quiet with you, or when you came out, was it like to everybody at once?
No, actually, they had no idea that I was gay, and I just kept it to myself because I think with a lot of like upbringing families in Singapore back then, it's like you don't want to tell your family because you might risk being just rejected from your family and kicked out. And so
right.
I hit that, and I eventually felt like, because I wanted to make a difference, you know, in my music career. I was in school. And my classmates signed me up for a singing contest without me knowing. And they called out my name, and they were like, oh, you got to come up on stage. And I went up on stage, and it was like a karaoke afternoon. And I started singing, and it was so terrible, and everybody laughed at me. And I decided that, oh, my goodness, like, laugh from being music, maybe I can make someone cry, you know. And so the year after, I signed up to go back on stage, and I learned how to play the guitar in the year, and I went up and sang, and my classmates, some of them cried, and I was like, oh my God, like with music, if I could make people feel a certain way, then I want to be, you know, I want to go into music changing other people's lives with emotions and messages of love. Yeah.
Oh man, that's so good. What was it like then? Because you did achieve, a really nice degree of success before you came
out.
What was that like? Was that exciting? And what was it like knowing you had a secret?
I mean, the truth is, when I first started making music, I just wanted to connect with people who felt like outsiders, just like me. I never thought it would snowball into something bigger, but then seeing friends write to me about how music helped them come out, about feeling less alone, that meant the world for me. And I remember there was a lot of times where I felt like I was feeling incredibly lost and alone, and having the fans like connect with me throughout my music career has really helped me and shaped the way I think about how people are so supportive and loving out there. And there's a community of people who are loving and caring. And so it opened up my eyes to that. There's so much hope in that. I think we don't see that often these days, especially on social media, but it's really uplifting for me. And I think a lot of the process of being in the public eye, there's a lot of things that we were not allowed to talk about, and that we had to kind of like not share, especially like with sexuality. So I felt like this path for me was very meaningful, because in my life it was always about wanting to uplift others, and in this journey I was able to do that, and that it felt very purposeful and meaningful for me. Yeah.
Well, it's super, super brave, and all my admiration for you for doing that. It's a little bit ironic because some of your, you know, and really popular songs and hot videos are, they're very like straight sexuality. I mean, it's like you're a sexy man with yeah. the sexy women, and you know, it's like so yeah. it's like their hypocrisy is kind of really evident. Tell us what happened when you decided to come out and how that came down with your music company.
Yeah, I just, that was this point of time, I just felt like I've had enough of just living a lie. And for me to do music, I have to do it with an open heart and honesty and authenticity. So I just decided that, I actually told my dad, I was like, hey dad, I just want you to know I'm gay. It doesn't change anything about me. And that was a week before I came out to my record label, because I didn't want my dad to figure out about me from the news. So I just wanted him to have the first hand news before I came out to the public. But I called my record label manager then, and I said, hey, I just want I want you to know that I'm gay, and I want to share that I want to be authentic in my path of music. And I want to share that with my fans. And then afterwards, he was like, no, you shouldn't send that. I mean, you shouldn't let people know about it, because it's wrong. And then he hung up, and I got a text message later saying I'm no longer part of the record label. They were like, oh, because
oh
of
God.
Your decision to come out, we are going to drop you. And so like, you won't have anything to do with us anymore. Good luck. And by the way, you still shouldn't share your sexuality with people. And I was just like, oh my goodness, it felt like shit.
Oh, that's horrible. That's terrible. It's like it's awful. Well, let's pivot though, because you make gorgeous music, and it's you have your music like the description of Dancing Lights, which I want to play in a minute. You covered the gamut emotionally with your music, from kind of a bittersweetness. You have a song called Empty, which is kind of super moody and sad. And then you
right.
have uplifting songs like Limitless and really upbeat things, Open Up Babe, which was seen in Fire Island or heard in Fire Island. And one of my favorites is your song Someone Who Loves You, which is such a
I love
sweet,
that one.
Romantic song. Oh my God, it's just it's like the thing I love about that is it's a song of someone who is releasing somebody, but
yes.
with this kind of blessing that there's going to be someone else who loves them. And it's so just the sweetness of it is just astounding. Where emotionally, where are all these feelings and stuff coming from for you?
I think it really stems from just like the way I look at life. It's like I'm always about sweetness and affection and intimacy, but I find that these days things like that are hard to come by. And I think music has been the place where I kind of share that and connect with fans with intimacy and affection. So I just love being, I just love kindness. And I feel like it stems from just the way I feel about life, and about what we should see more in this world, especially in the LGBT community. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. With your permission, I want to go ahead and play Dancing Lights.
Please.
Okay, here we go. Here is Dancing Lights by Will.
Felt like I was me. I just want to be free from all that's broken. Man, I'm all ready to break, and I wanna run away from feeling hopeless. Take a breath and let the pressure off myself. Take a second to remember how I felt when I was patient. I was kinder with myself. Lost and found. honest with my heart, it was left apart. Where is my closure? I'm passing through the days like I could throw it all away, and no one would notice. Take a breath and let the pressure of myself. Take a second to remember how it felt. When I was patient, I was kind of with myself. Lost and found.
Good. It's like it's so soothing, and you know the lyric "Who I am is good enough" is just you know it's there's so many times in most of our days I think we all need to hear and remember that. It's just a great way to get there. You have a knack for melding the lyrics with the rhythm so that. You know, it's like because a lot of pop songs, the lyrics sort of are awkward above a rhythm, and yours aren't. Yours flow so well. How do you?
Oh, thank you so much.
Weave that so effectively.
I think it came from a place of like wanting to really express myself authentically first, because I think I was in a place of for a while of feeling just very lost, and I wanted to, you know, find ways of escaping. And so I decided that I wanted to write a song that would connect with people out there who felt the same way. And I started to, you know, dig deeper about why I was feeling alone, and I was always feeling lack of love, and why I was feeling I never felt like I was enough, and so it was a very scary place too, and I guess I didn't really want to talk about this, but I think I need to share this as well. I think it's very important for people out there. There was like, during that point of time, you know, the thought of like it was just so random, like the thought of suicide came about, and I was like, oh my goodness, why would I even think about that? That is so. Why would I do that about, you know, like why would I do that to myself? Why would I think about such a thing, you know, and I shouldn't be. And so it was pretty scary because I was like, wow, why would I even think about that? But I never even thought that I would act on it or anything like that. But it was just like a random thought. So I went down the path of like thinking that I really need to work on myself. Like, why do I feel in such a way in life that no matter what I did, it was just never enough. And it was meaningless. And so I went back to my past. It's a lot to do with my sexuality of the repression. Mm-hmm. And even after I came out, I realized that there was a lot of things that I had to unpack. I had to rewire the way I think about myself as an openly gay man. You know, it's like I think the healing had to be done, and so I spent about a year with a therapist, and I talked about, you know, the feelings of like never feeling, you know, feeling like I'm enough in any way or I deserve to be loved, And that changed, you know, I think it's a lot of the way we speak to ourselves. And so I decided to pen it down into a song, but then it was really difficult for me because when I wrote and sang Who I Am Is Good Enough, I just couldn't feel that way. And I realized, oh my God, I couldn't say any affirmations in my life. It didn't work. I didn't believe in it. So I started to go back to the studio a lot more, and I tried over and over again. Until I believed in it, you know, and there was a point where I remember one day walking out of the studio and I was smiling at the producer, and producer Steve, and I was like, Steve, I actually feel like I'm good enough. Like I'm okay. Like I'm not less than, I'm just right on the equal, you know, like the equal of being enough. And I'm so, and he laughed at me. He was like, see, like I told you have to just like say it over and over again, you know? And I think it's the way we tell ourselves, talk to ourselves daily. And so, yeah, this song came about and it's so meaningful for me, like just hearing it being played on your podcast. It's so, like I felt so emotional. It's a very, very sentimental and very important song for me. And I'm so grateful that you would share it with your listeners. I'm so grateful.
Well, I'm so grateful that you wrote it and are sharing it with us. I think it is a universal that I think we all have our self-doubt that we're not good enough. And because we get met with things that are discouraging for you, I feel for you so much because your story, there are so many stories, and I hear a lot of people, you know, I talk to people all the time in the different arts and everything else and everybody's path and et cetera, et cetera. And most of the people I talk to, they have a very different story than yours where they come out, the walls drop away, the band shows up, you know, the ticker tape parade comes out, everybody awards them for, yay, you came out, you know, and now here's this great new outpath. You didn't get that. You got, to me, that it's so traumatic that not only did you get dropped by your record company, but he texted it over to you. That's like the heights of disrespect, and you deserve so much more.
Not over the phone, but the text. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, what an asshole. Sorry. I guess
to
say that on my podcast.
He's an asshole, but I thank you. I thank you for that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, how dare he? It's interesting because I feel like your album and now the name of it is just slipped off the top of my tongue, but it's like, you know, hold on a minute. Don't Leave Too Soon. And that catalog of songs on there seem to be that struggle. What was your inspiration as you put together all those songs? And they're all gorgeous. I mean, there's not a bad
thank
song
you.
In the bunch.
Thank you so much. It's so kind of you. I had a couple of friends who passed away a couple of years ago. Some of them from overdose, and some of them from I have no idea why the reasons weren't told to us. But it scares me. It scares me because, like, you know, life is so. You know, you never know when people would leave or you know when it's the last time you meet them. And for me, that's always been the hard part because I love meeting people and I love hearing people's stories. And sometimes when they just, you know, leave suddenly, it's very hard for me to accept and understand why. And so that song was a tribute to all my friends who passed away and for anyone out there who had people who left them before, you know, like so suddenly, it was a feeling of just, you know, holding on to the happy memories and the good times and wanting to remember that instead of how they left. So yeah, that was the inspiration behind part of like the loss and the acceptance of loss. Yeah.
Yeah. And in that catalog, you have some hopeful songs. Like I said, Limitless, I think
yeah.
I took as very uplifting. And Hero, who would be a heroic
yeah.
person for you?
It would be Chris Martin from Coldplay. I think the way he writes his songs, like he actually there was a turning point where he was writing a lot of sad songs and he just decided that he wants to turn it into something happy, you know. So he's able to take something that's sad and turn it into happy and mm-hmm. give a beautiful message out there, which I think is that for me is a hero because he's able to turn music into something so uplifting for others. Yeah.
So I've kind of been avoiding a little bit what I consider kind of like the elephant in the room here is, which is
yeah.
that you are planning to have Dancing Lights be your final song and you're going
yeah.
to retire
yeah.
from music. What is
yeah.
motivating that? And how do we talk you out of it?
Oh my goodness, that's so funny. when I went into music, I really wanted to music to be a part of me that changes people's lives, and it did. And it's been an incredible 10 years, and I feel like I want to go into something that I can be of help in other people's healing path. And I feel that maybe Eastern medicine is something I'm really passionate about, and I want to take that and be able to help people in their lives, and you know, with spiritual, emotional, physical, and so that has been my passion. And yeah, I'm just very happy with where music has gone and how it's changed my life and other people's lives, and I want to move on into being able to contribute, you know, like physically, mentally, yeah, to other people's lives.
Right. What can you tell me more about the going into Eastern medicine and what part of that? Because I have trouble thinking of you without music. And whether music would also be somehow integrated into that kind of therapeutic arena. But what is your vision?
Yeah, so I've been doing this thing called Qigong. It's basically Chinese energetic medicine. It's a lot of understanding about life force, understanding about nature, understanding about earth energy, and I've been, they teach us this workout that we do every day for our body, and it really like it gives you life force, and it they call it tonified. It really tonifies your organs, and it's been so fascinating because in class we're like our master told us to do distant healing with friends with our classmates, and we would kind of like meditate into it and start diagnosing like, you know, parts of what's going on with the other person's body, and there's like this connection, and so we would share that connection, and we would share, for example, what I felt during the session. I would be like, hey, you know, there's the word trust came out from your heart when I was, you know, meditating to it and sending it, you know, energy, and it would be so accurate. They would be like, oh, that was exactly what I was going through. I would be thinking about, you know, the process of trust. And then we learn a lot about energy healing, and so that has been just really for me an eye opener. Like I don't know how to explain how much of that works, but it's just so fascinating, and it's been so accurate, and it's been so uplifting and changing for the health of others when we've been doing that for the past year. Yeah.
Well, I think that's awesome and very, very exciting. Will you still play out the poet side of you? Because a lot of your music is obviously lyric based, and you know,
yeah.
you describe emotions that I think a lot of us can relate to. Will you be still pursuing that?
I don't know about that. I'm not sure yet, but I for the time being, I don't know if I might still go into that. Maybe down the road, I don't know.
So if we're closing the door on your music catalog, what are the particular songs and pieces that you have done that you want people to focus on? What do you want your musical legacy to be moving forward?
Oh, I want people to know that they're enough, like you're good enough, and I hope that, you know, when you're facing the darkness, that you can find the strength within to find the light. And if anyone listening feels like they're going through something difficult and rough in their life, please know that you're not alone, and there is hope, and there are people who care out there.
Absolutely. I want to go a little bit to the videos that accompany the different songs, and particularly the one that accompanies Dancing Lights. Tell us about what it took to make that video and what people should watch for.
Yeah, my friend Stroll, he's a fantastic director. We talked about wanting to give people the sense of nostalgia. Like, a lot of times for me, it was about holding on to a happy place with someone that I loved, and it's the video is about the person that I loved shooting me, you know, shooting the video, and we're experiencing going around the city together, and the entire I want people to take away from the video of really, really taking every moment in life to appreciate our moments, because we never know when it would be gone. And so, like, with our connections with our friends, family, the people we meet, it's like every moment counts, because it just won't happen the same way again, and we never know when it's the last time, you know. And so to really cherish and really appreciate life in a way, even when it's really difficult for you, you're going through a hard time, learn to be kind to yourself within, because it's during these dark times of darkness that you find light, and you actually become a better friend to yourself when you're kinder to yourself, even when you're going through a very difficult moment.
Yeah. And that's really what I take from your music on a couple levels. It's like, You're not really going into trance music. It's a higher elevated to me. It's more electronic pop, kind of a little more energy than a lot of trance music. But the effect is still kind of there. Of it makes you think. It makes you relax. It makes you feel, even while it's giving you energy, which is a really challenging balance that I think you achieved.
Thanks.
And, you know, through your work. So
one
thing I have to ask you about,
Early
on in your career, a little birdie told me that you were actually managed and mentored by American Idol's Randy Jackson. And a lot of young people are going into music and, you know, going on The Voice, going on American Idol. What would your seasoned advice be to people who want to try to get into music? You know, what is your advice?
Firstly, really find the voice of authenticity within yourself, because only you have your voice and your thoughts, and to be able to put that down in music, that is going to be unique, and stay truthful to that voice within yourself. I think it's a very, very important way in which you will shine your light to connect with other people when you're honest with who you are.
Absolutely. And I think you heard some of the stories that Brody covered at the beginning of the show, but a lot of LGBTQ youth, especially trans youth, are hurting right now. And they're hurting for a lot of the themes that you bring up in your music. And you kind of addressed this in general to anybody. But I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, if you would address that part of the audience, what you would want them to know, you know, along the themes of accepting themselves and being authentic.
Yeah, I think it's not easy, you know, like to face all these discriminations and never feeling like it's equal. I think what's important is like to really look within yourself. And I think a lot of times, like with me and with many other people, is that we tend to want to find intimacy and affection with ourselves outside, but when we do that, we get so affected by the outside world and how they perceive us, you know, and I think that we should really turn deeper within ourselves and find that self-acceptance from inside and not from outside. And that's where it starts, that we can build like a lifelong sustainable love that we can give not only to ourselves, but people out there.
Yeah, definitely. So we're unfortunately running out of time here, but I do want to ask the question of you, which is, what haven't I asked you? What haven't we talked about that we should be talking about?
Maybe like just like now that I have all these times, I would be able to kind of like move on to doing. Getting my bag of laundry done. That's just now without music, I would be able to take care of my laundry.
Well, I'm happy for your laundry. I'm sad for us. I just feel like musically there's something in you that could really explode and just because you're the like I said, the themes that you cover and the accessibility of the music that you produce. I mean, it comes on and you just want to listen to it. It's just beautiful music on its own. But
thanks.
Especially weaved with the same themes that you talk about, I really think it those themes help a lot of people. And, let me ask you about the one darker song when you were working on it, because it came out as a single, which was a song called Empty. What was happening then that created that song?
Oh, I was when it just came out, I was going out a lot and trying to figure out where I belong in the community, and I was just going to bars, going to dance parties and I think it was on rep, like I did that a lot, and it was on repetition, and for a certain amount of time I just felt like, why am I doing this? And I felt like I just didn't have a place, and I felt very lonely, that you know, I was looking for love outside of myself, you know. And so I remember I would go home, and there was once I went home at 3 a.m. in the morning after drinking like 2 shots of tequila, and I started crying, and I was like, oh, what am I doing with my life? I'm just going out to the bars and dance parties and coming back alone. And I just felt like, you know, I was putting a lot of my dependent of intimacy and affection outside of myself. So that was a song about feeling emptiness, is that while doing all those, there's, you know, there's a lack of affection and intimacy that I yearn for.
Right. No, I hear you. Have you thought about writing a book at all? I mean, because you have quite the story.
No, I haven't.
Well, there's a suggestion for you.
I need help to write a book.
Well, I ghostwrite, so just FYI.
Awesome.
Not trying to pitch you on that, but you know, but it's
go.
Out there. Well, tell us where people can buy your music. There's, because it's a little hard to find it all in one place. How do people get your whole catalog?
Oh, you can get it at Apple Music, Spotify. You know, you can get it on YouTube, Amazon Music, and
great. Well, you are a joy. Your music is a joy. I really appreciate you being here with us today.
The feeling is mutual.
I'm kind of hopeful that you've changed your mind tell me just one thing. Is like, is this closing the door on music for good, or is there a possibility you may open it up again in the future?
I mean, well, this is my last single, but I'm always open up for like performances if that I might show up somewhere. It really depends. It just depends.
Okay. Well,
I'm always up for connecting. So it's like I can connect with the fans, and I'm about that, And so there are instances down the road that has that. I might just, maybe special occasions show up and yeah, there's a little this and a little that.
Okay. Well, we're going to put it out there because I'm daring people to tempt you out of retirement.
Sweet. Thank you.
The music is just too good and too enjoyable. And
you so much. You're so kind.
Yeah. Oh, my pleasure. And I'm just telling the truth. The audience, please do access this off Spotify, and you will enjoy it. It is all very, very delightful. And Willis, I'm going to give you the last word. Any final words that you'd like to give to the audience?
Really, please, guys, folks, take care of yourselves. It's life gets, it gets rough sometimes, but I really hope that you can take away with this song, Dancing Lights, is learning how to dance in the darkness. We can all just have light. We have a little darkness so that we can find more about ourselves and how to love ourselves and other people around us better. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for being so supportive and listening to us. Thank you, Rob. This has been such a beautiful, beautiful interview. I really enjoyed our interview together.
Likewise. And anytime. And good luck with I'm very excited about your healing journey and the healing that you're going to be imparting to people.
Thank you.
I think you will be imminently successful at that as well.
Thanks.
Completely selfish about wanting more music, but that'll be my problem. And blessings on your laundry.
You make me not want to go just because of how kind you are with these. So thank you.
Well, the music that you give is a gift and you can't see it because you put it out in the world and it's got to go take a life of its own. But listening to it when you're in thought, I listen to the music in the gym and everything else, and I really get meditative around it. And your voice,
your
input and your ideas and your guidance that happens in those songs, I think is important. So. Anyway.
It's times like this when I hear things like that makes me really appreciate what I do and I thank you for that. I thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. It's very meaningful for me, and it makes me go to sleep smiling, and I appreciate that you share that. Thank you.
Well, and right back at you. Thank you for sharing your innermost thoughts and your feelings and your artistic talents with us, because they have impact. They will continue to have impact. And I'm very excited for whatever comes next for you. I think it'll be intense and wonderful.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Thank you. And that is it for us for today. We will be back again next week. We look forward to talking to you then. Please, like I said, share this with your friends and neighbors. Have them subscribe. And also check out the Los Angeles Blade magazine. That is at losangelesblade.com. And we will talk to you again very, very soon.
You've been listening to Rated LGBT Radio.